Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at hashtag Kangas, Instagram, hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok, hashtag Kangaroos 1. So I am back after a little bit of a mini holiday before the season starts. I've been off for a number of days now, so it's good to be back. I managed to watch a replay of the game yesterday against the Saints. I was on a ship, on a cruise ship on Sunday, so I didn't get to see any of it. So it was good to get back yesterday and look at the game. So tonight I am joined by Mark Hello and Frank the Tank Descalza to go through the game. There was a lot of talking points about individual players and how they're going, how they're looking for round one. We obviously talked about the Jimmy Webster incident. Wanted to get the boys' thoughts on that. There was a lot to go through. Let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on Mark Hello and Frank the Tank Descalza to chat about it. So tonight, I welcome to the show Mark Hello and Frank the Tank Descalzo. Now, boys, welcome back, and we have a lot to go through. Now, we just finished our preseason last Sunday against the Saints, and it was a good hit out for both clubs, I feel. The windy conditions made it tough. And, Mark, I'll start with you here. It felt like a game of two halves for North Melbourne. First half, we struggled to adjust to the conditions, and if the Saints kicked straight, in particular in the second quarter, then it could have been over as a contest. But we adjusted in the second half and played some really good footy, I felt. I felt like we controlled even parts of the game in the second half. How did you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just summarised it pretty well. The most pleasing thing for me out of that game was I felt like our midfield struggled the whole day, pretty much. We never really got on top of the midfield. We didn't have a lot of high possession winners in the midfield, but we remained competitive the whole game. We remained competitive for the game, particularly in the second half. And you're right, we seemed to adjust to the conditions better, and they weren't great conditions. They don't play out at Moorabbin very often, and to go out there and then have that sort of wind, particularly with our game style, wouldn't have made it easy. But yeah, I was super impressed with the second half, particularly the third quarter. And I thought our new recruits and some other players I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, I didn't think it was our best game by any stretch. I thought we could play a lot better, but we remained competitive. So I thought that was a really good sign.
Yeah, Frank, they've had a good pre-season, St Kilda, as well. They touched up Essendon a couple of weeks ago. How did you see the game? Any different thoughts to me or Mark there?
No, not really, Dean. I actually went there. And as I approached, in the lead up to the game, my two concerns were our back line in particular. Not my concerns, but I thought the back line's going to be tested. I don't know that it's going to hold up. And I thought we'd kind of hopefully dominate the midfield. And it actually sort of went the other way. I was really impressed with our back line. So the other concern was I didn't know how Tristan Sherry would go against Rowan Marshall, but I thought he did a fantastic job. And probably the bit that I was the least impressed was our midfield work, particularly out of the centre square, where I thought was a real chance to dominate. And it was more our back line and Tristan Sherry that impressed me. So, all in all, I thought there were some really good positives out of it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call future All-Australian Tristan Sherry from now on. That's going to be his motto. So I think he's been really good. Now, Mark, I guess the main talking point out of the game was the Jimmy Webster incident, and it was a poor act, and he thoroughly got what he deserved as far as a suspension goes. I think the most disappointing thing was that straight after the incident, he showed zero remorse, unless you count yesterday where there was a bit of PR, and he did show a little bit of remorse yesterday, and I'm not too sure if that was what he was told to do. It felt like he was. I understand that you can sometimes go over the line when you cross that line, because we've all played sport and done a stupid act here and there, but to be laughing about it straight after it should have added further weeks to the suspension, in my opinion, Mark.
Yeah, I don't think he's social media activity of his family was much. No. Either that evening, I was sort of making jokes about it and saying good night, Simpkin, and stuff like that. It was a bit reflective of the way he seemed to react on the ground just after it happened as well. But there's just you know, I think it's pretty obvious, it's been talked about enough this week. There is absolutely no place in the game for that when you think of what's happened to people like Danny Frawley, Angus Brayshaw having to retire, Shane Tuck. It is such a serious thing now. That blatant acts like that can be avoided. It's just inexcusable. I've got no sympathy for him getting 7 weeks. I would have been happy for him to get 10. If a North player did it, it's not about the fact that he hit a North player. It's just, it can't be done. It'll actually destroy the code if they don't wipe it out. There's going to be incidental contact and they can't do anything about that. But charging at someone and jumping into the air and just smashing the head, it's just beyond belief how stupid that act was. So, yeah, he'll miss his 7 weeks for it, and he deserves to, and it'll hurt St Kilda. But I thought the North players stayed pretty controlled, actually, at the time. They were being pretty angry. Not really surprised, knowing Clarko, that he exploded. He's seen his captain, who's just had his third concussion, and in a practice match, a completely unnecessary one. His use of words wasn't great, obviously, and he'll probably get fined for that, but I can understand his reaction.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, we might as well talk about the Alistair Clarkson here. He has come under scrutiny for obviously his homophobic slur. Now, I've used that term, I'm not going to be innocent, I've used that term quite a few times as well, when emotions are high. And it means nothing at the time. You're just frustrated. And it happened 5 minutes after the incident. And like I said before, he was laughing, you know, when he was wrestling with other players. And he has shown that with Hawthorn as well in the past that he can get a little over top, especially with the Matthew Lloyd incident in his last game of his career where he knocked out. I can't remember who he knocked out. It might have been Campbell Brown, I think. So do you think... With all the media and Mark Robinson, that he should be under this much scrutiny and that he deserves that much scrutiny for that comment he did make?
No, look, I don't think so, Dean. I think, as Mark touched on earlier, it was probably a throwback to the era that he played in where there would have been a lot worse set out on the ground between players and coaches. And he probably sort of went into default mode when he was angry. So he'll cop his fine. I'm happy for him to understand that that's, you know, not the kind of stuff that's accepted anymore by a senior coach and by players. The only thing that concerns me about the whole thing, Dean, is how sometimes players can interpret that as a sign from, you know, the coach to, you know, take out retribution. And that's what I was worried about in those preceding minutes, is that Tristan Sherry or Cam Zerha or something like that, someone like that, you know, got sort of emotive about the whole thing after the break and maybe came out and tried to square up. I think for Alistair, it's probably best to remove himself from situations like that. If it ever happened in home, the way you'd hope, he might be up in the coach's box.
Todd Viney had the ruptured Achilles, so he wasn't there to pull him away.
Yeah, well, like I love the fact that he was defending Jai and that he was upset about it. I certainly wouldn't have wanted him to the cameras to pan to him and for him to be smiling. I just think it was misplaced, and I think he needs to sort of temper that in case, as I said, someone reinterprets that as a sign that, you know, the coach wants me to square up.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an incident. It might have been second quarter when it was in our forward line where we did have an opportunity to tackle him hard. And a couple of players did go hard at him. I think Zerha and even Zane Dersma, young Zane Dersma. And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to stick up and protect your players. And at the end of the day, football players are protected out on the footy field if they do an act like that, because there's cameras everywhere. Whereas back... you know, maybe 30 years ago, when there were no cameras, you could sort of king hit someone, and you can really get in a fist fight. But it is what it is, I guess, and we have to move on. And unfortunately, we lose Jai Sinkin for round one, which we will talk about soon. But Mark, I want to go to the back line, and we had the tall back three from the Collingwood game. And I've got to tell you, Mark, I was impressed with Callum Dawson, Toby Pink, and I even think Biggie Newen did some really good things. Do you think, with how underdone Luke McDonald and Aiden Cora, that we go with those three talls in round one? Because they've got the match fitness and they've been playing the practice games.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a fair chance that's exactly what will happen. Although the one of the coaches who spoke after the game, Xavier Clark spoke after the game. He hinted that I think they're going to give Luke McDonald some time. My understanding is they want to give Charlie Comyn a bit of time, as in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks preparation at the lower level. Core played pretty well, and if he plays well again this week at VFL level, I've got a feeling he might come in. I don't think Luke McDonald or Comyn will play in round one, but I think Core's a fair chance. To be honest, I don't know which one of the three would come out. It won't be Dawson. There's no way. He's got to be a lock now. Pink looks rock solid to me. Biggie seems like the more creative of the three, and he gets around to a lot of contests and gets himself into some good positions. And he seems like quite a creative player and like he's going to be a good prospect as an interceptor. But I thought they did a great job, and I thought obviously the running players out of the back line were outstanding. In Sheasel and Fisher, to a lesser extent, McKercher. But I thought Goethe was awesome. I was so impressed with Goethe. He looked like he played as a third tall a fair bit as well, which I hadn't seen him do before. But he to me looks like he's going to be a very good player, and I think he will keep Luke McDonald out. There's no need to rush Luke McDonald in while Goethe's playing that well.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, Zach Fisher, Harry Sheasel, Colby McKercher are going to be big beneficiaries from this run-and-gun style of play. And like Mark said, I thought Josh Goethe was outstanding. And to me, it's between him and Luke McDonald for the round one team, because I can't see anyone else going in or out. Miller Bergman was playing reserves, so he's out of the equation. Who would you go with for that last mid-sized defender spot between Goethe and Luke McDonald? Because I thought he did a really good job on a quality AFL footballer in Tim Membry.
Yeah, no, I would go Josh Goethe, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think he's been exposed enough to senior footy previously. I think he looked a bit stronger. He played down the wing that we were on there at the start, and he kicked that goal from our side. He seems to have filled out a bit more. I don't think the boy's done anything wrong at all. You've got a guy that's trying to push in with who ruptured a tendon in his hamstring. I think he'd be crazy to bring Luke McDonald in. I know he's the captain or co-captain or whatever, but I don't see how Goethe gets dropped myself.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good balance, isn't there, Mark? Like, I think that, you know, the runners like Fisher, Sheasel, McKercher, Bailey Scott as well is playing behind the ball. Josh Goethe can play, you know, tall and small by the looks of it. And then you got Callum Dawson, Toby Pink. And I think you're right. I think if Aiden Corey is fit, he'd probably come in for Biggie Nguyen. Because Biggie Nguyen, for the good things he did do a couple of little things that I was a little disappointed with. There was a chance to tackle Max King, I believe, in a goal score in the second quarter. And he just done a really poor effort there, which resulted in a goal. So I think there's a good balance between smalls and talls. So yeah. I'm actually getting a little more confident with this back line, which I thought was going to be a big Achilles heel going into the year.
I've probably been accused of being overly optimistic during the off season, which is fair enough. But I've always felt during the off season that although there's a lot of inexperience with key defenders, at least we've got a decent bunch of them now. Whereas before, early last season in the Good Friday game, Bonner and Zeeble were playing as key defenders. So we had one or two injuries and there was nothing. We actually didn't have a key defender playing in the VFL last year. We did Dawson, who didn't get a chance till the Gold Coast game in the last round, which in hindsight probably means he should have got games far earlier than he did. But anyway, that he's come on as a result of that, got the extra year, and thank God that's happened. But I just feel like now we've got depth. Like there's competition for those spots. So they're all on edge, having to really fight hard for a spot. And I think that's working. I think, you know, Charlie Comyn, I think, will certainly get a crack at some point. You've got Lowe coming back in the second half of the year. I think we're better placed in that key defensive positions, albeit Mackay's obviously gone. But in terms of depth, I feel like we're not too bad. And Clarko's a master at building a team defence. So I think they'll do well, albeit there were a couple of pack marks taken in the goal square by St Kilda on the weekend. And I think that was as much to... the issue I had with that was Callum Coleman-Jones was down there two or three times when that happened and should have helped thump the ball away. And, you know, marks got taken that shouldn't have. So I think Core will be useful in that, probably more than Biggie is in that situation. So that would be the one change I'd make. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think they've been really impressive. And certainly the run and gun out of the back line looks great. And those guys can all play wing as well. So they can alternate. They can play defensive wing positions. And I certainly agree about Goto. I think it'd be completely, you couldn't take him out of the side now than the form that he's in. Crazy.
No, I couldn't agree more. Now, Frank, Mark mentioned Bailey Scott there. Now, where do you see his best position? Because he has been playing a little bit behind the ball, but he was one of the best wingmen in the competition last year, albeit in a poor team. And Ravishing Ricky Mangidi is doing a brilliant article about Bailey Scott and the impact he has forward of the ball. Where do you think his best football is? Do you think we put him back on the wing, or do you like him behind the ball as well, given helping out Fisher, Shees or McKercher, giving a bit of drive out there?
I wonder, Dean, whether that was a bit of a ploy, because it was a very strong wind down the one side of the ground and he pushed back almost as a defensive wingman to help out with numbers. I still think he had a great season on the wing. I'd like to see him return there. It's probably the one spot or the one play that I think was really consistent and improved throughout the year. And I don't think we're in a position to start experimenting with a guy that was playing well. I'm happy to see him back on the wing. I think we've got other options at halfback that will develop. And the one thing about that whole run and gun game, Sunday's conditions were the absolute worst to try and pull off a run and gun game off halfback. That wind was swirling. It was coming across the ground and then with the ground. And you probably all saw that there were a couple of times where you could see what we were trying to do, even through young McKercher, and just the ball didn't hit the target and we got rebounded on. But I'd like to keep him on the wing.
Fair enough. Now, midfield, Mark, I felt like you did talk about this before. It was an area of the ground we struggled in a little bit, particularly in the first half. The Saints midfielders, Seb Ross and Jack Steele in particular, probably felt like they were sometimes a little too strong for our midfield. LDU, Charlie Lazaro, maybe. Any concerns for you there going into round one with that midfield?
I felt like I do agree with you. I felt like they were getting out muscled early. I don't know. That shouldn't happen with LDU and Wardlaw. They're unbelievably strong. So, I think they'll learn from that. That's the first blip in their preseason. And St Kilda are highly competitive, and they were having a real crack in that game. They certainly didn't take that game lightly at all. And we saw what they did to Essendon. So, look, we didn't get enough of it, and we didn't get enough of it as first touch out of the centre. I thought Phillips was quite good in the second half. I thought he was one of our better players, and he was really clean with the ball. And Lazaro still did okay. I just thought it was LDU and Wardlaw that were actually really down. And Powell was okay. You know, he probably had 13 or 14 possessions. Wardlaw had 12, 13. LDU had 12, 13. I mean, they need to double that, really. Considering the result, I mean, with our midfield well down, I thought that was pleasing because there's plenty of upside, and they'll take some lessons out of that, and they'll be better prepared for round one because they've got some big boys in the GWS midfield to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, Mark. I think they deserve a pass, to be honest with you. They've been really good. They have looked really good against Collingwood and in pre-season. Now, Frank, Will Phillips came in on for Jai Simpkin after quarter time. He's been ruled out for round one at least for now, Jai Simpkin, with a concussion. Does that mean Will Phillips is a lock for round one now? Because I think he would have been on the outer, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I had him on the bench when we did our sides, and I think he'd be the natural replacement there. Look, you hate to see Jai out, but if there's two guys you really want to see what they can do in the, you know, the heat of the centre square and can they develop, is probably Tommy Powell and Will Phillips. So yeah. Give them a bit more exposure. Maybe the responsibility brings out the next stage of Will Phillips' development. But I think so, Dean. I think he's probably the natural replacement now.
Yeah, I mean, even though Jai Simpkin was playing like a high half forward, I guess, you know, Will Phillips goes into the midfield. And I will talk about Tom Powell in a minute and what happened in that game. And I'll ask you that, Frank. But I want to go to Tristan Sherry, Mark. Here's another player that has impressed me. I think he has competed really well in the ruck. His follow-up work has been quite good. Gave away a couple of silly free kicks, just being over-exuberant, which happens. But I'd rather he do that than go the opposite way. 16 touches, 31 hitouts, 8 clearances. He's grown on me, Mark. How do you feel about him?
Well, I loved him in round one last year, and he unfortunately got injured, yeah. And then he was out for such a long period of the year, he didn't get a chance to reestablish himself with that sort of form. But I think he's just gone straight back to that. And if anything, he's got fitter and even stronger. And he's a bit of a brute now. He's not easy to move off the ball at all. And he's playing as a bit of an extra midfielder and getting involved when the ball hits the ground. I'd love to see him take a few more grabs, but he's highly competitive. If you're a midfielder, you'd love him because he's an extra big body around there. And he won a lot of tap-outs. So when they tried to put in a secondary ruckman against him, he was just pushing them away like they weren't there. So, I'm loving him at the moment. I'm praying he doesn't get injured because that'll be a disaster. Because Callum Coleman-Jones, to me, is not a number one ruckman, and he's not really a key forward either at the moment. He seems to be a bit lost, and I'm hoping his form comes good. But I'm very happy with Cherry. I'm very excited by what he's showing so far.
Yeah, look, I've been probably pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. And, yeah, look, hopefully...
Not a forward, though. I mean, that's the thing.
No.
Playing second fiddle to Goldson and having to spend too much time forward does not suit him. He's never going to be a forward. He's a 90% ruckman. 90%.
And that's what he's been doing. So, yeah. Which absolutely suits him. No, you can't play as a second forward. No. Now, Frank, I will go back to Tom Powell for a second here. Now, he had a great game against Collingwood and has had a good preseason, but he only attended one centre bounce for the game. It was mainly Wardlaw, LDU and Phillips with spells from Lazaro. Do you think it was because of the Simpkin injury is the reason why he played as a higher half forward for the majority of the game and didn't go right into the guts of the midfield?
Well, I was just having a look at the stats for the game, Dean, while you were talking there, and it says he attended 9 centre bounces.
Oh, I did attend, all right. Okay.
Yeah, but saying that, he got 0 clearances from his centre bounces. So he obviously, you know, to say he needs to improve on that goes without saying, really. I mean, I think for whatever reason, there was a number of players that all had, you know, like D-minus days in the midfield. Tommy Powell being one of those. I still think he's a fantastic footballer in traffic and his ability to see things before they happen. Another one a bit like Will Phillips. Let's put some responsibility on him while Jai's out and say, you know, time to put the big boy pants on, Tommy. And, you know, we've got to see what you can do in the heat of battle. But I still prefer him in and around the ball.
Yeah, no, you're right, Frank, and very good call. He did attend 9. Because I looked at it earlier and I thought it said 1. So that's how well I'm going these days, Frank. So
that's all right.
Yeah, no, and like you said, and the problem with him has always been consistency.
Yeah,
no question about his talent. But you know, I think the second half he only had like 4 or 5 touches. So he's got to get consistency through his 4 quarters. And, you know, it took a number of years for LDU to get that consistency. So hopefully Tom Powell can be like that. But he is a lock for round one. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
He's four midfielders. Mark, forward line. A tough day for forwards with really windy conditions. No Drury and Robert Hanson. They were both in the reserves. I felt like the forward line really lacked some pressure up there. Zane Dersman came in and did some really good things, but his lack of pressure is glaring, similar to Cooper Harvey, I guess. Do you think the good outweighs the bad? Because he looks good, doesn't he, inside that forward 50, but I don't think he gives you much as far as the defensive side goes.
Well, again, there's a few people that had been in great form in the preseason in the forward line. Larky struggled a bit in the first half, but came good. Curtis had an off day, but I'll forgive him for that because he's been great all pre-season again. And Dersma, although, look, he's not going to be a pressure forward. He's a hybrid tall, really, playing as that. And he worked hard up and down the ground pretty well. And again, up there at 14, 15 possessions, two goals, could have kicked three. He's a class player. I'd be leaving him in the side. But I do want to see Ford come in, and I think Hansen Jr. apparently, I haven't seen it, but apparently played really well in the VFL. I don't know what his pressure was like, but apparently his form was good. So I think he'll get a chance at some stage, and if they don't improve on that pressure in that forward line, Drury will end up playing because Clarkson will trust him to play a role. But yeah, I mean, look, Harvey's going to be a class player, but he's a similar issue. He's not up to it from a pressure perspective yet. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's effort-based or just tank-based where they just, you know, they haven't got the ability to run up and back and pressure after trying to win the ball. But, you know, that's a mindset they're going to have. We can't have the ball being walked out of our forward line like we've seen the last 4 years. So that balance is going to be interesting. I thought Stevenson actually was one of the better players in the forward line in terms of pressure.
It's probably saying something if he's one of the better ones, to be honest with you. Not his forte, but look, yeah, I mean, we do have a plethora of half forwards, just probably not that second key forward as of yet. No centre bounce attendances during the preseason from Cameron Zerha, Frank. He mentioned only a few weeks ago that he's getting a mixture between the midfield on occasions and play forward. Now, he's looked good up forward. There's no doubt about that. He's presenting really well and becoming a good second forward for Nick Larky, albeit pre-season. Are you a bit surprised they haven't actually tried him in the centre square or on the odd occasion?
Yes. Look, maybe because it's you know, just the Community Cup stuff, they haven't bothered to use him. I thought he's always sort of gone in there as at the start of quarters to be a bit of a physical presence. Maybe Clarko's wants to see what, you know, whether George Wardlaw or LDU can take that position. Look, I think he's still got the ability to do it. I think most people have said he looks like he's trimmed down a bit, and that might be to do with the role that they want him to play, as in being able to go into the middle if required. Surprised it hasn't happened yet, but I think if he gets thrown in there, he'll be able to do the job.
Yeah, look, I thought during the preseason is the time to do it. So I'm a bit surprised I haven't tried it a couple of times. Mark, do you think he could have, like, especially when St Kilda were on top early, with the big bodies, I think it might have even been mentioned in the commentary team that why not just try throw Zerha in there as a bigger body, just to throw something different at a Jack Steele, you know, or a Seb Ross or something like that. Are you a bit surprised that Zerha hasn't been in the centre square?
Yeah, I have been surprised, but I'm just assuming that they don't want to show their give the exposure to the other sides yet with that. And I think that he will definitely go in there in round one. GWS have got some big boys in there, so I think they're just waiting. Because it didn't. You're right. It made no sense given we were getting out muscled there. But and I think your point was that they probably. I think Frank said they probably wanted to give as much exposure to Wardlaw, and Lazaro, Powell, Phillips in that environment as possible and let them learn a few lessons. You know, Clarko would have pointed that out to them afterwards. And I don't think he probably minded seeing them cop that a bit because they're probably getting pretty confident and it probably was good for them to see they've got a bit of work to do. If that was a game for 4 points, you would think for sure he would have been thrown in there at some point.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. Frank, yeah. And I guess the other talking point, and we have mentioned him, and I think Mark mentioned him earlier, is CCJ and the form he is carrying in the preseason. Did a couple of nice things, but 8 touches, and his best work seems to come out of the centre square, especially when he can kick a freakish goal that goes 80 metres with the wind. Yeah. Are you worried about his form and his role on the side at the moment?
Yes, Dean, I am. I think he's kind of in football purgatory at the moment, where he's not, as I think Mark said, he's not really a ruckman. I mean, he can give Tristan Sherry a chop out, which is great, but you just like a different facet from when he's not in the ruck, and that would either be helping out the back line, which he doesn't seem to do very well, and at this stage, he's not really a target up forward. So I'd be... Well, if I was him, I'd be concerned that if Charlie Comben starts to show a bit of form, there could be an alternative there to use him as the swing man forward and back with possibly better results. But I don't think he's shown enough at the moment that he would be confident of playing. He's got to show more if he wants to hold his spot, I think is what I'm trying to show.
He looks down on confidence at the moment, really.
Yeah, just doesn't.
Sorry, Frank. Sorry to cut you off there. Is he at the crossroads, Mark? Because it's a pretty important year for him now. He is a big recruit that came to us a few years ago, and that's based on potential. He only played the 9 games at Richmond. And you mentioned a good point there, confidence. When he was up and about at Richmond, when he was kicking goals in a couple of games, and the reason why we paid him so much money, he looked really confident. Then you see a mark on the weekend where he drops on the wing when there was no one near him and he just sort of almost ducked his head waiting for contact. Back to my original point, is he at the crossroads?
I think he's got fragile confidence. And last year when he kicked, I think it was 9-10 goals in the VFL, they brought him in against Sydney and he looked great. He started clunking marks. I think he missed a few, but he looked really dangerous, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is it for him now. He was okay the next week, and then he fell away again. So he just can't seem to – his confidence comes and goes too easily. So they'll be working on that with him. I'd give him 5 or 6 weeks in the VFL and sit him at full forward and not even worry about him. You know, maybe let him play in the ruck a couple of minutes a quarter. And to say predominantly, you've got to start kicking 2 or 3 goals and be really useful on the forward line, because otherwise we can't have someone who's just in the side to play 2 minutes of ruck per quarter. Otherwise, we just replaced Cherry's role on the side last year with Callum Coleman-Jones this year. I'd rather see the hybrid. I'd rather see Eddie Ford in there, or although that said, that doesn't really solve the problem of who's going to give the chop out in the ruck. But I think Frank's right. I think it'll end up being Comben. Because he'll be able to play forward, back, or in the ruck and be highly competitive. Because whether Comben's having a good day or not doesn't seem to matter to him. He just goes flat out anyway. And he'll give everything. Whereas Callum Coleman-Jones, when he's off, he's right off. Like he should have impact. That when he was in the ruck and he floated down to the back line, I was more angry with him than I was the key defenders when those marks were getting taken, because he was right there and it was just half-hearted attempt to spoil. So, if he's not going to kick 3 or 4 goals, then he's got to be really aggressive presence on the ground, either in the forward line or in the ruck or in the back line. Wherever he is, he's got to be an aggressive presence, because that's what you can say about Cherry. He might not take a mark, but he's involved and he's getting the ball and he's super aggressive. So I think Callum Coleman-Jones needs to take a leaf out of his book, that if he's not having a great day clunking marks, that he'll bring something else. And because if you're 6'6", you're not always going to take 10 marks a game. You're going to have to do something else. You know, even Mason Cox, I should say, with Collingwood, he'll play a role for them up forward, even when he's not taking marks, by splitting packs and not letting the intercept markers get them. So there's got to be something specific that Callum Coleman's going to bring to the side for him to be really useful. And at the moment, it's hard to see what it is.
Frank, do you think, now we've talked about him a little bit, do you think he'll be in a round one team? Because at the moment, I still think they want to give more run in the legs to Charlie Comben, and then that just leaves Tyler Sellers, which we haven't seen at AFL level, or Finbar Maley, who's probably a bit raw. So do you think he's in a round one team?
Coleman-Jones?
Yeah, Coleman-Jones.
I think there probably isn't enough direct pressure coming up underneath to push him out at the moment, but at the level he's playing at, I would suspect that if Chom has another good game, from all reports, he played well in the evening game on Sunday. I'd say if he was to do that again, I reckon Coleman Jones might get a week or two to prove himself in the seniors before he finds himself in the early game.
I mean, don't forget, Goethe, if Goethe's in the side, he can play as a third tall if Coleman goes into the ruck for a couple of minutes at the end of a quarter too. So there is a few options there. I mean, Eddie Ford's the other one. He's showing form, kicked four goals first game.
Yeah.
So, and Greenwood's the other option if they want to do the second ruck. Although this new rule where the ruckman can use their arm to push people away makes it harder to play these small second rucks. But
yeah,
you might be right, Frank. There's not a lot of other options early on in the season.
No. I think they probably, as Dean said, they probably want to get a bit more run. Into Charlie. I mean, I was out at La Trobe and he played the first half and then ran laps for the second. He's played VFL this week. There's obviously a concern on maybe how he's pulling up or whether there's some lingering discomfort or whatever. So I think at the moment, Coleman Jones is probably safe in that he body-wise, he's more ready than Charlie Comben. But I think on potential... Coleman Jones would want to be very careful that he doesn't start improving very quickly before he gets ousted.
I think they want Coleman in the side. They just want to make sure his body's right.
Yeah, that's the impression I get as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you mentioned a good name there, Mark. Hugh Greenwood probably could play as a second tall, you know, pinch hit. I mean, he could certainly put pressure on CCJ, I guess, at the end of the day, if worse comes to worse, if CCJ is just borderline useless, I guess.
Yeah, there's every chance of Green. I think Greenwood played it. He played it first.
Yeah,
and they said he was a good presence in the forward line. I mean, that's the other thing. His tackling is fantastic.
Mm.
So he'll cause trouble on the forward line. He's highly competitive. He's a great tackler. And he can play as an extra midfielder on the forward line as well because his inside work's fantastic. So I personally would prefer him to be playing than Callum Coleman-Jones at the moment because I'm not seeing what he brings to the side. But again, I'm not in the inner sanctum. He might be playing a specific role that they're happy with. But I think Greenwood's a fair chance to play round one. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, well, he's had his injury concerns too in the preseason. Obviously, coming back from a foot injury. So, yeah, I'm not too sure where he's at, whether he played a full game in reserves. I haven't looked too much into it. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting week and a half till selection anyway.
Mm.
Now, boys, we will move on, and I might get some early season predictions off you guys before we finish up. Now, Mark, how many wins do you think we'll get this year?
You want an exact figure?
Give us, between a rough estimate, I guess.
All right, I'll say 6 to 10 wins.
6 to 10. So I'll go 8 down the middle.
8. All right, I'll run with 8. Fair enough.
All right. That's the most optimistic one I've heard so far. So good on you, Mark. Frank, what about yourself?
16, I think.
Yeah, no, that's the most popular one I feel like we're getting. How many goals will Nick Larkey get this year, Mark?
80.
Oh, geez, that's big. Frank?
I'm going to say I hope he kicks, if he kicks 70, that's about 3 a game. I'd be happy with that. So I'm going to go with 70.
All right, very good. Mark, who will win our best and fairest this year?
Ooh. LDU.
Yeah, everyone has said him so far. I mean, it's just a case of if he stays fit, I guess. Yeah. Frank, what about yourself?
Well, unless he gets injured, I'd go Sheasel again because he doesn't look like he's slowed down at all in his ability to get the footy. So it's his to lose as far as I'm concerned at the moment.
Fair point.
He racks up positions for fun.
Yeah,
this year. Just on that, we might as well talk about it now. Now, he signed a big contract, Harry Sheasel. He signed until 2030. I almost forgot about this. I don't know why. But to me, that was a no-brainer, wasn't it, Mark, signing him for that long? And I think it's probably almost going to come at a low price, to be honest with you, because the next year or two, I think his price is going to be well over what he's signed for.
Yeah, and we don't know what he's signed for, and it might be tied into whatever happens with the bargaining agreements between the Players Association, they'll play him, they'll probably pay him a lot of money early, which he'll be, you know, and I know he comes from a very a great family and you know, very astute. So I wouldn't be surprised if he'll get a lot early, you know, which makes sense for us to do that, given we've got the room in the salary cap at the moment. And he'll use that. He'll financially set himself up for life early on before he's even 30. And good luck to him. If ever there was a player that deserved a long contract for us, it's Harry Sheezel, based on not only his form, but his behaviour around the club, his leadership. The only risk there is with these long-term contracts now, and Jai's an example of it, is if Jai got, and God help us, I hope this doesn't happen, if he got another two or three concussions this year, that could be the end of his career, and we'd have 5 years to pay out, as Melbourne are now facing with Angus Brayshaw. So that's a bit of an issue across the whole of the AFL in terms of long contracts. But in terms of the thinking behind it from North, I've got no issue. I hope they sign George Wardler up to the same. I hope they get McKercher onto a long one, and I hope they get Dersmer onto a long one. But I think all these kids are going to be great for the club over the long period, so I don't have an issue with it at all.
I was going to say, Mark, on the contract side, I wonder, without knowing anything about it, whether clubs put in clauses now, like Taron Thomas, you know, that there's a medical clause, a behavioural clause. We've seen what's been sort of insinuated maybe with Clayton Oliver and stuff.
I don't think they can around concussion. I don't think that would stand up legally.
Okay.
I think if you because then if you sign a contract and someone tears a hamstring, they don't play that season, for example, you can't say, oh, we're not paying you.
No. Yeah.
So I think it's the same. I think it's going to – I don't think there'll be any get-out clause for clubs on the concussion.
Okay.
No. I certainly think on the behavioural side, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Clayton might be an example of that. But, yeah, concussion-wise, I think, no, that's just an open risk that every AFL club's going to have to wear.
Yep.
But I think the AFL will help clubs out in letting them pay it outside of the cap, albeit it'll be an expensive situation. But, yeah, I that's the only real risk with these long-term contracts. But, I mean, you've got to, you know, that's risk you're going to have to take, I'm afraid.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's such an important sign for the other young kids there and some of the older ones like Zerha that, you know, if the best and fairest winner at his age is already committing to the club long term, that's a fantastic sign for the club. And I'm hearing there's going to be more of that come up. I'm hearing that LDU might not be far away. So I hope that's correct.
Well, we'll have to announce a public holiday if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea, Frank. Now, Frank, to me, it was a no-brainer. Like, I know we've just talked about concussion, mm-hmm. you know, but that's a hypothetical. Now, to me, this is a no-brainer because the next 12 to 18 months, this kid could be the best player in the competition. And I'm not going out on a limb saying that.
No, well, you can only go on the knowns, can't you, Dean? And, you know, anything could happen injury-wise between, you know, now and the end of his career. Or he could absolutely get no injury. He could do a Jim Stein and play 220 consecutive games. The fact is, from what he's shown, he looks to be an absolute outstanding individual and an amazing footballer who will aerobically will continue to improve. He'll probably develop a bit more strength as well. I just don't see the downside at the moment on having a guy of his ability commit to the club. I think it's a great sign. Hopefully it inspires a few others to stick around or maybe even come to the club. Who aren't there this year. So, I'm all for it.
Great.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you just mentioned that you've got him as the best and fairest winner. He could be a back-to-back best and fairest winner. He's not even 20 years old. He might win 10 best and fairest and be a greatest ever player, and that's not far-fetched. No. Now, last one's probably an easy one, Mark. Who will win our best first-year player?
Our best first-year player? Well, I don't... look, most people would judge it to be McKercher easily, but I don't know. I just think there's something special about Dersmer. I think he's going to keep getting better and better. He's doing some freakish... If he kicks 40 goals in his first year, He could still be our best first-year player, but I can't go past McCurcher at the moment. But I haven't ruled Dersmer out.
No, that's not a bad shout. You never know. I mean, he certainly looked like he's got that capability based on his pre-season game. In the windy conditions, he was probably our best forward.
Well, he's kicked two goals or more in every game, and a couple of weeks earlier in the intra club, he was really quiet and he had a bit of a sore knee. He still bobbed up with three goals, and you hardly sighted him. He's that sort of guy. He knows where he reads the ball in the air so well, and he's got very big wingspan, so he's very competitive in the air against taller players. I think he's exciting. I reckon there's a reason they picked him up, ahead of some other midfielders and. Forgotten the little guy's name, but that the Hawthorn that everyone's raving about as well. So I think Dersmer, and look, it's harder playing up forward, and especially as a sort of a taller player up forward. But yeah, I'm seeing some things a bit with him that I really love. I think he's going to be a great player.
I agree. Now that's it for everything, boys. Mark, any final messages out there for all your fans? Essendon fans in particular?
Like Bomber Boss, for example?
Yeah, Bomber Boss, Jonathan Walsh.
Yeah, oh yes, all my favourite Essendon supporters, yeah. Well, I just wish them all the best going into round one. And I hope everything goes well for them.
We all concur with that, definitely. Frank, any final messages?
No, not so much a message, Dean, but for you and Mark, can anyone find out in the coming days, where is Hamish Free at?
He's probably in the waffle.
Is he still at the club?
He did have an injury. I don't think he's going to play AFL football, to be honest with you.
Just on that subject, a lot of people raving about Goad after the VFL game on the weekend. As in a potential, like perhaps, ball below his knees, picking it up and just sprinting away from packs and stuff.
The reason I asked the question was he wasn't on the listed on the injury list. I didn't hear his name mentioned in the VFL, and I've literally not sighted the guy this year. And I had to check to see whether he was still on the list, and he is. I thought
he has been injured. I know that.
Okay, all right, maybe that's where it's at. So if you're listening, Hamish, give us a sign if you're still out there, mate.
Yeah, sign of life.
That's
a good way to finish, Frank. We're not too sure if he's alive, so thoughts are with him. It's a difficult time, so yeah, no, very good. Well, boys, thanks so much for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. I'll get you boys back on next week again before round one. We'll do a preview of the GWS game. Thank you, Mark, and chat next week.
Can't wait, boys. Always fun.
Sounds good. Frank, always a pleasure. We'll chat next week.
Thank you, Dean, and thank you, Mark.
So thank you very much to Mark and Frank for coming on the show and getting their thoughts on the preseason and how we're looking coming into round one. I'll be getting those boys back on next week as well to preview our game coming up against GWS. So it's come around very quickly. Really exciting stuff. So, once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can tell your friends, leave a rating and review, do all that fun stuff to help promote the show. It would be much appreciated. So, I will be back tomorrow night. At this stage, I will have Jesse and Siobhan Rowe to go through a few, probably more positional battles. I want to talk about, players in the back line that's under a bit of a cloud, and go through some midfield spots and some forward line stuff. So, yeah, look out for that show. I'll have another show tomorrow night. So, yeah, it's ramping up a little bit now. So, the round one game is not too far away. It's next week, so it's coming around really quick. So, it's going to be very exciting. And we're looking pretty good this preseason. It's going to be an exciting season, I think. We might not get the wins, but we will play some good football. And that's the most important thing. I'm more optimistic this season than I have been for the last few years. So, and Mark predicted 8 wins this year. So, you never know. We might be able to get that. Anyways, that's it for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now. And go Roos.